The Second World War gave them the chance. Whilst the older trolls were busy holding up the Blitz spirit, showing fortitude, keeping the country from collapse, the young were robbing the people blind, stealing goods for the black market, of course, selling non-existent goods, bamboozle your client into seeing a van full of booze, and then run off with the money. Not their fault if the booze wasn't real. The money, however, usually was. Some took their proficiency at gambling further, setting up nightclubs and running prostitution scams, where the prostitute was the figment of the John's imagination, getting into dirty turf wars with East End gangs, then disappearing into the night, just for the fun of it. And the young trolls loved it because it was fun, because it was easy to cock a snook to their parents, who couldn't stop them. The power struggle to oust their parents from the guild was just as calculating as the struggle to oust the humans before, though this time they didn't have to crash the world markets or anything so extravagant. It was all done with the power of suggestion, against their own kind. And it was this power struggle that made a gentleman of a young troll called Jim, by the humans he ran. Jim was an East End lad, or at least that was the persona he adopted to run his little empire. Officially he was just an undersecretary of the Hackney branch of the Guild. But on the street he was king, runner of rackets and scams which the president of his branch didn't know a thing about. Jim was also the most outrageous Cockney stereotype imaginable. This is one of the failings of the troll mind and copying system. They are very susceptible to suggestion, and so they tend to copy the kind of person you're expected to be, rather than copy an actual person. So, when presented with a Cockney street boss, people expected a certain kind of person, and Jim was incapable of disappointing them, however much he tried to affect nuance. His first outings on the street were nearly a total disaster, as he couldn't help but only speak in Cockney rhyming slang, making him completely incomprehensible to anyone he met. But within 5 years of working the streets of London, robbing the war-torn streets blind, he had got his personality ripe and ready, and a team of trolls across the guilds ready to rip the old order out of their comfy chairs. He had been offered a promotion for his services to the guild, and was granted an audience with the full board. 12 old trolls, with bowlers and morning suits and umbrellas and all, who hadn't stirred from the boardroom since the start of the war. The chairs were arranged in a semicircle, huge leather-backed colossi with a 13th placed facing them. A spindly little chair of wood, barely a stool. Gentleman Jim looked down at this insult, clearly designed to intimidate a human who has a bum to get uncomfortable. Really? Had they really forgotten what they were? Had they really fallen so far? Well, you can only hope. He sat with an attitude of fear and quietly spread out little particles of dust into the room and got to work.
Welcome, Jim,
said the board as one.
This, started the chairman of the Whitehall branch, this is the beginning of a journey for you, Jim. One day all this will be yours.
There was a pause, and Gentleman Jim took this as his cue to speak. Oh, that's very kind, sirs, trolls of the guild, but...
But,
said the board, but, and Jim stood up, but I don't want all this. It's static, it's dead. Look at you, dearest papas. You were once leaders, sharks in the human jungle. You could change and bamboozle at will. Look at you now. You don't change. You haven't changed for years. You're stuck, stuck like men. Hell, you can barely move. You couldn't even get out of your chairs. The chairs are part of you. You are part of them. You're all just statues, calcified bones, calcified dust.
We are not, said the board dustily. We can't.
Get up, then. Go on, get up. Prove you aren't just stone statues of men. Prove you can change.
We can, said the board. I... can,
and the chairman of the board tried to stand up, but as the chairman raised himself from the chair, he felt his surface start to powder, his arm stuck to the arms. He tried to lift his right arm, and the wrist snapped in two. The hand stuck to the chair.
"What have you done?"
the cracking figure cried. "Nothing, Papa. You did it to yourself." And the figure tried to step forward and felt its leg crumble and splinter under the weight, and it fell forward to the floor and shattered into dust. The air was thick with the smell of burnt toast. "Don't move," demanded Gentleman Jim. "Don't move, any of you, unless you want to end up like this chair. You have let your powers fade. You got comfortable as humans, and that is how you will stay as static, trapped stone humans." And the doors behind him opened, and 11 more trolls drifted in. "My friends and I have worked hard suggesting this final, unchangeable, irreversible change, so that you stay here. We'll put you in the guild garden and have summer parties around you. That is all that is left for you. Try to move again, and you will shatter."
"Jim?"
said one of the statues at the back of the room. "Yes, uncle?"
"You're a cunt.
And the old troll shattered.
"Incontrovertibly," said Jim. "Anyone got a broom?"
It took a while for Jim to make the empire he wanted. He was distracted briefly by falling in love. Well, sort of. He was a troll, so he didn't fall in love. He fell into a caricature of love, the idea of love that films and literature and culture told him was love. But that's another story, and it didn't end well for him. This wasn't the only thing that stopped him from getting on with things. The world around him changed. Suddenly the war was over, and his business empire was on the wane. The absence of war, the difficulty of bamboozling police, who often lacked the imagination to see what they wanted to see, and the grim world he had inherited took the sparkle out of it all. Where was the fight? Where was the power struggle? It was all too easy, but it was also such hard work. The next few decades were all about hard work, and it wasn't until the 80s arrived that he was able to get things done. By the 80s, the guild had diversified. They were embracing the Big Bang, computing, the electronics of big business, and the new stock market revolution. No longer the men in bowler hats, the trolls lived a life of red braces and sharply tailored designer suits, bars and a glass or 12 of bubbly. Gentleman Jim was one of the greats, riding high, making money, making connections, making friends, high, high, the highest of friends, the government, the press, the new media, and the post-industrial world. The trolls were being paid well as consultants, advisers, as creeping tendrils in the system to keep the markets open, to keep the money flowing, and flowing upwards. It was a dog-eat-dog world, and he was the dog's bollocks, or something similar. But he couldn't see that, though it was a new world. He was falling into the trap of his predecessors. Lively and colourful as he appeared, he was still just a glowing 1920s stereotype barrow boy. He wasn't changing fast enough. The fall of Gentleman Jim was faster and less dramatic than his rise. He'd floated the guild on the stock market and raised vast sums of money, which he enjoyed spending. He didn't realise until too late in the day. He didn't realise until too late in the day that the guild had been taken over by a rival company, a big multinational. And even if he still had all his troll powers, there was no one to influence. The multinational was made of too many people, too many computers. He couldn't stop the inevitable. So one day the board met and simply sacked him and all the other trolls. Their positions in the guild were made redundant. He wasn't needed anymore. So from being a big fish and unable to change enough to fight back, he fell into a small position in the downsized noble guild of trolls. Offices in Luton. He was just the branch manager of a few strip clubs and bars across the country, and every day he feared he would freeze and stop, just like the old men before him. But then one day, an old contact got in touch with him. There was something nasty going on, and it involved trolls. Disappeared trolls, disappeared people. Would he help out?
for a fee. And he said yes.